Welcome to RevCast, the Civilization podcast focused on its console platform.
I'm Cardamandua.
Joe B. Reeves.
Alexander the First.
Oh, good thing we're not recording anymore. Okay.
You know the backup recording is still going, right?
Sweet. Oh, true, man. He's got material. Play this backwards. I'm Joe Reeves, a regular co-host. This is episode 6, where we are featuring no one. The hosts were either too lazy or unavailable to record new content, so you get material that wasn't good enough for our other episodes, desperately scraped from the bottom of the barrel, reheated in a microwave, and served as new. Enjoy, and see you with new content for episode 7.
We keep talking about the Civ Rev versus Civ 4, and I think because, like you said, we are all PC gamers first with Civ, and then the moving to the console is very different. It's very different for me, actually. And I don't play a lot on my DS anyway, so I am more of a computer gamer. But I alluded to earlier, a lot of people call Civ Rev Civ Lite, and I think that if they call it that, they're getting the definite wrong impression. They don't understand the game at all.
I agree.
It's two different games.
Well, how many posts have you seen where it says, well, when's it coming out on the PC? What's it going to do to Civ 5?
Yeah.
Well, if they paid attention or known anything about Civ Rev, it's just a different game in a similar universe.
Yeah, it's got kind of similar features, but it serves an entirely different purpose. Civ Lite doesn't necessarily need to be a derogatory term, you know?
Agreed.
It's just a simpler game for more easygoing gameplay. Well, like when I play Civ 4, I really get kind of caught up in the strategy and really overthink things. And when I play Civ Rev, it's just, you know, I just...
Mindlessness.
No, I'm just playing, you know? It's just, it's really playing without nearly as much thought going into it.
Isn't it nice that you have a game that you can play from start to finish in the Civ universe that can take 3 hours?
Well, I love that because I am notorious for starting a game and after 2-3 hours, I'm done. And then I don't come back to the game the next day or I'll just start over again. Lakuta started a thread on Appleton entitled Civ Rev versus Civ 4, where a lot of the arguments are put out for this, saying that we're not sure how to take this. And this, of course, was posted in July, right after the game had come out, saying that we had never thought about a simple civilization game. And so the change is a little more drastic sometimes. If you're going for strategy, of course, you're going to go first to Civ 4. But, like Dojo Boy says, however, you're going to say Civ 4 trumps Civ Rev any time, but the 20 minutes he has to wait in the doctor's office flies by when you have Civ Rev on the DS.
Sure. One flight to Vancouver.
Right.
I had 2 games under my belt. Were they fun? Absolutely they were. Were they Civ 4? No, they weren't. But I got through 2 separate worlds and had a blast playing them.
It just serves a different purpose. If you compared it to food, you could say that Civ 4 is your 4-course meal, and Civ Rev is your light snack.
Yeah.
You want both of them, but different purpose.
Different purpose at different times.
I like what Felch says in the thread. He says that Civ Rev can be viewed more as a spinoff than a sequel. And I think that's exactly right. It's not a sequel, it's not the new Civ 5, it's a spinoff.
I agree, and I'm okay with that. It's a fine game on its own, and it's got its own community. It sold well.
It did.
It sold insanely well. Good luck finding it for the DS. It was a good seller, and I know people that play it, and if you check the scoreboards for the game of the week, it's loaded. Now, people cheated like crazy to get the high scores, but it's loaded.
I think, actually, that the DS version is going to be more popular than these other two versions because it's portable.
Mm-hmm.
You can take it to the doctor's office while your kid's in there or whatever, or you can take it on the plane.
Yeah.
And if you're home, you're going to go for your Civ 4.
Yeah. If you're home and you think, I want to play a game, you can just as easily sit down at your PC and play Civ 4.
But...
I agree.
Well, I was going to ask you because you do have it on your Xbox.
Well, here's one thing that the DS is going to be more popular. You're looking at the audiences. DS has more of a broad appeal to more people. It's also sold 30 million units in the United States. There's not very many strategy games available for the DS. Age of Empires was on there, and it was a great port, but it was a straight port, and it was a little buggy. But then here comes a full-featured Civilization, and of course it's going to sell. The Xbox version, I agree, if you have a PC, which a lot of people don't, or have a powerful enough PC, you're going to play Civ 4 on that. And consider the audience for the Xbox. It's a little bit more of an action gamer's haven right now.
Definitely, with all the Halo stuff.
As an aside, it's insanity that Firaxis didn't put Civ Rev on the Wii.
I definitely agree, because making Wii games is an excuse to print money.
These days, absolutely. Look at your shelves at your local store and take a look at what's selling.
I mean, if you look at the sales of Wii compared to the Xbox 360 or the PS3, it's just not even in the ballpark.
No. December's results are insane in comparison. It's about a 3-to-2-to-1 sales ratio for PS3 to Xbox 360 to Wii.
As far as I know, they didn't say that they would never make it for the Wii. They just put it on official indefinite hiatus.
Well, I threw a big fit about that. And in this special interview with Jason Bergman about Civ Rev, I was like, hello, Wii. I was excited when it was first announced because I have the Wii and I play it and I love it. And I was so upset when it wasn't going to come on the Wii because most of my friends have Wiis.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of the people that I know, and that's just because I'm a certain category of person. Not a lot of people have the Xboxes.
It seems to me like the window of opportunity is closed to put it on the Wii.
Yeah.
Unless there's a sequel, which I would like to see that myself. The control scheme seems perfect for the Wii, having the nunchuck and the Wiimote.
Yeah.
Totally. There's a lot of cool things they could put into the Wii, but I mean, I guess part of their reasoning was that they would have to code it for the different control set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the nunchuck and the Wiimote and all of that. But if they really wanted to, I mean, they could do just about anything with it. It's so versatile, they could make the controls do anything. You know, you're in diplomacy and, I don't know.
And you can slap Catherine.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, you can whack her around. That'd be great.
Yeah,
wouldn't that be awesome?
That's actually what I was thinking. Yeah. Like, you swing the Wiimote or the nunchuck or whatever and give her a whack in the face.
That would just be for pure personal satisfaction, wouldn't it?
I think they could have, like Electronic Arts Sports does, an all-play version of their game within the Wii game. So they could have the all-play version where it's just a great leader rumble. Then you smack them around a little bit, but then have the serious Civ Rev game in there as well, where it's basically the same game that it is on the other consoles. I really hope they do that, and I think they're making a mistake if they don't, because there's definitely money opportunity there.
Historically speaking, now this is random, I know, I'm totally on tangent. Back in the day, if two civilizations had an argument, they would get all their armies, and then, just like the Dave and Goliath thing, they'd send out their champions. And you could say, okay, I send out my best guy, and then you fight it out. Well, wouldn't it be cool if you, as the leader of your civ, went out, and the leader of their civ went out, and you could decide to battle one-on-one? And if it's like older area, you could do it with your fists or clubs, and then, you know, as you move up, you've got swords, and then it goes to, like, gunfight. Hello, how fun would that be?
I see what you're doing there. I like where you're going with this.
You seriously have to make a petition.
Uh-huh.
Call it Civ Fighter.
Civ Fighter 4.
But you're playing the regular game, you just have this little insert.
Well, and Gandhi could pull off all those mystical moves that Dalsim pulls off.
Dalsim, oh jeez.
Caesar pack and heat.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, our trip into fantasy lane there.
We're so wacky.
Tokugawa does his Hadouken.
Yeah.
The fireball.
Yeah.
That would be amusing.
Chieftain, Warlord, King, Emperor, and Deity.
What level do you normally start your gaming on?
Pre-Settler.
Probably somewhere in the middle, then.
I am playing in the middle.
Kingish.
Yeah, that sounds actually right. I know, at first I was playing on Chieftain, because I had no idea what I was doing. I couldn't figure this game out for anything. But now I've moved up a little bit. Probably King.
I usually play on King level. Sometimes go up to a bit of Deity, if I'm feeling extra lucky.
Wow. See, I usually waver between King and Emperor. Deity is if I'm depressed.
I want to die.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I think, don't they generally engineer the deity setting to be near impossible? I think I remember reading an article once about, I don't know which Civ game it was, but Cid was trying to play and he couldn't even beat the deity.
Huh. I know there's some ding-dongs out there beating it in 2600 BC on deity, so.
Jeez.
Maybe they're just saying.
That could be.
If you go and captured all of the capitals really fast right at the beginning, you could blitz out pretty quickly if you were all on one continent.
Yeah.
You could probably do it.
Had to be Zulu or something.
Still, I think playing on deities like asking to torture yourself.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun, though, to have a go.
Oh, yeah. Well, I found that it seems that the majority of the podcasters do sort of end up playing in the middle range, saying what we normally play on, because it affects your perception of the game. So it is important, John, so that was a great question. It's important to know what we're playing on, because that really affects your playing style. Somebody playing on Chieftain or King is not going to have the same strategy as somebody on Emperor, that's for sure.
Yep.
Or Deity.
My personal preference is the middle, because it's not too easy and it's not too hard.
I have a question. Say I get a great person. Let's just pick the population one. Every city that I've got built is plus one population. If I use it up like you're saying, why am I getting barraged by the AI? We'll leave you alone if you give us great person, we will let you be. No, I ain't going to give you a great person. You know, that's one thing I will not give up. Attack me if you will, I'll restart the game. But I don't give up my great people. So how is it that if I use him, he's still available to get by the AI, I'm saying?
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I think I might be completely wrong, but I don't think that they get the benefits of if you use him to add population, for example. I think that benefit is spent by that GP, but he gets to use them as one of his GP.
Like towards 20?
Yeah.
Towards the 20, right. You've used the resource, but it gives them the closer reach towards the cultural victory.
Oh, okay.
If you expend him, you keep your population, but if you use him as your bonus and have him live there, basically just doing a bonus, then you lose your 50% bonus.
Is there somewhere I can look? Let's just say if I feel like I'm going to win a domination victory over England, and I'm going to capture this city, and France, Napoleon comes up and wants that great person. Is there someplace I can check to say, oh man, that's only his second great person he's got. He's not going to win. I'll just throw him a bone and let him go grovel with somebody else someplace. Is there some way I can tell how many great people he's got? Or do I have to have a spy to go get that in?
Considering that you have the 360 version, there's a couple ways to see this.
Okay.
Up in the upper right-hand corner, when you're doing diplomacy, you'll see the list of the civs that you're going against and be little charts below their names, how they're doing towards specific victories.
Okay.
Like 1/20, 5/20, 10/20.
Oh, I get you.
And then you can also look on the big chart, and it shows how far they are.
So you actually could give away, if you used them, if you expend them, and you weren't really going for the great person victory anyways. I mean, that could be a bone that you could throw away. Is the AI smart enough to figure out if you start caving to their every whim, do they take that as a sign of weakness on you, or they don't process that information that way?
I can't answer that.
Picture the analogy of the bully at school taking lunch money from the kids, right? If he knows he builds a reputation up that he can keep every day, then not many people are going to want to say, no, you can't have my milk money.
That's a very good question. I think it'd be hard to really tell one way or the other because the nature of this AI is that it's going to come and harass you regardless anyway.
I get you.
Yeah.
I agree.
So maybe it'll come and harass you more than it would before, but it all seems the same to me, at least, because I'm just used to saying no to them all the time.
You get a lot of war started that way.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, and I'll tell you, that's what I love about this game. Bring it on, Cletus! You're gonna walk on, but you're gonna limp back. I love it.
For more information on Brevcast, our sibling shows Polycast and Modcast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at thepolycast.net. Record date?
Assorted 2009.
Civilization Revolution sounds clips copyright Take-Two Interactive.
Copyright 2009 Civilized Communication at civcom.net.